Hello and welcome to episode 2 of 66%. I'm Lucian Maudaly.
And I'm Michael McAndrew.
And we're joined this week by our world correspondent, Shane Kelly. Hello, Shane.
Hey.
All right.
This isn't the same kind of quality as our normal.
Well, this is the 66%, which means worse audio quality, shorter running time, less pre-preparation, no interview, no jingles. Just means it's a shittier episode.
There's a little guitar here.
And unfortunately, because I am so busy, I am very uneducated.
We have to record these episodes on Michael's pit stop flash return visits home. But at least we're giving you some content and keeping you up to date on the US election.
But we will have a great episode.
After the election, we'll have a fantastic episode.
Yeah, we will. Record it in a professional radio studio.
Ooh. So anyway, this week's big thing, of course, on Monday night, was the first debate between Donald and Hillary, and it was 90 minutes without ads, very exciting, moderated by Lester Holt. Stayed up live and watched it. I regretted that the next morning. it was not the most thrilling 90-minute encounter we could have hoped for, but it was certainly had its fair share of dramatic moments.
Everyone was kind of talking about, okay, will Trump be this kind of reserved teleprompter style Trump, or will he come out and be the Trump that
and
we all
I
know?
I think he was a mixture of both.
Yeah,
I think he started.
He had his moments of like, at the beginning he was like, okay, I'm going to be. It's like New Year's resolutions. I'm going to be calm, and then he gave up after like 5 minutes.
He said, "Will I call you secretary? I want to make you very happy. Very happy."
That was funny.
he was trying to be prepared, and he had things prepared to say, but then like every time Hillary attacked him, he was just kind of, and then did his usual Trump thing, which is what we love him for.
Love her.
So if we're going to go through a few of the big things, first of all, the Sniffle Gate.
Mm. That was funny.
Trump's sniffles were a very amusing part of the debate that kind of started maybe 15 minutes in and continued for about 25 minutes where he was just constantly sniffling. There is a montage that you can find on the internet of like every sniffle, and it is really...
How many times did he mention China as well? He still mentions China a lot.
A lot, yeah.
You'd think that they'd go, Donald, just don't mention China.
I think we'd know by now if his people had any actual control over his behavior. I mean, I'll get on to something else in a minute involving his Twitter, but like this. Yeah. Anyway, the sniffles were pretty funny. There was many jokes made. Is Trump allergic to facts? Was he using Coke beforehand? No. But it is kind of ironic when he's been attacking Hillary for weeks about her pneumonia and being ill, and then he goes out of the debate and basically sounds like he has a blocked nose the whole time.
I mean,
there was a point during his
you got a cold.
They should have offered him a tissue.
That would have been amazing. Yeah,
that's like something Barack Obama would do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
Donald, do you like a tissue?
Yeah, exactly.
But like, there was a point during the
really
sniffling.
Quick humor. Like.
There was a point during the sniffling when I started for the first time in a long time to perceive Donald Trump as an actual living, breathing human being, and I felt a sort of a ping of empathy, and made me very ill. I don't know. The last week, I've started to perceive Donald Trump as a human being. I don't know why. It's a combination of the sniffles. It's not. He's gotten worse almost in his behavior, but yet I'm starting to perceive him as a human, and I'm actually thinking, if Trump was assassinated, or if I woke up in the morning and Donald Trump was dead, I don't think I'd be as happy about it as I would have been a few months ago. I feel like I've sort of developed a certain kind of sick fondness for the fellow, in which I want him to go away and be no longer in public life, but at the same time, I'm not sure I want him dead. And I did before. I don't know, this is strange.
I wouldn't want anyone dead.
Yeah. Well, Donald, you see, I do have, you know, I do kind of... People like Donald Trump, I often go, I'd love if Donald Trump got assassinated. He's so dangerous, but...
That's a bit overkill.
I don't think he's dangerous. I think he's...
But he's the leader of... But he's the leader of a hate movement. Like, it's... Those people shouldn't be on TV. But I think if he died, I'd probably be sad. And I don't know why that is.
Maybe because...
It's a psychological struggle I'm experiencing.
You wouldn't have a great source of entertainment.
Like, oh, poor lad, didn't know what he was at.
Yeah, he just seems like a really, really, really stupid man.
Sense of innocence about him.
Yeah. He's just so naive, but at the same time, he's such a disgusting, manipulative motherfucker.
The, see, that's the mystery of Trump. Is is he actually stupid?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is he just Because George W. Bush was stupid.
Like he was, he was an idiot being manipulated by other people.
He was.
Whereas Trump doesn't seem like that because I don't know. I think we'd see
because
the other people
because he's doing so well.
Yeah.
Like it could well be his plan.
Yeah.
Like we. That's the mystery of it. That's what's so fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, he could get in. He could appoint a Democrat to the Supreme Court.
Like, yeah.
And that's why a lot of people in the Republican Party they say, well, people who don't support Trump. You'd say to them, well, surely you want to support him if only because he'll nominate a Republican to the Supreme Court. But then they say,
that's not a guarantee.
But that, yeah, but that would rely on me trusting Donald Trump, which is something that I do not do. I cannot do. Mm. I don't trust that he will do that because he is a completely untrustworthy person. But, you know, he said that Obama was born in America. Fair play to him. Big boy. Growing up, he said that he will concede defeat if Hillary wins the election, although I'm not sure if I believe that.
But did he hear? Did you hear his comment about the thing that he's setting up next to the White House, the big building?
Yes, he said whether he wins or not, he's going to be moving on to Pennsylvania Avenue. Yeah.
So, that's funny. But if we move over to Hillary,
yes, my love, my life, my angel, my princess.
Really? Did you hear that? I thought it was a bit weird how she talked about climate change because. She talked about it in terms of jobs.
Yes. I was... What? No, no. I was absolutely disgusted by the fact that in a 90-minute debate on the issues, climate change, probably the defining issue of our generation, was literally brought up for maximum 20 seconds.
And it was just
in the context of jobs.
So they go, climate change is going to give us loads of jobs. Yeah. Like, what the...
But she says, Donald is a man who believes that climate change was a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese. And Donald said, I did not say that. I do not say that. Yeah, but immediately people went back and found a tweet from 2014 in which he typed literally the words, climate change is a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese.
If you hear the way he answers, he says, I am for all types of energy.
Yes, yes.
That's not saying that believes in climate change at all. Like he was so careful and he was very careful. I found it very interesting in his stance in the NRA as well.
Yeah. No, he said something weird about guns. He was like, we're going to take guns off the bad people. And when he was talking about, you know, stop and frisk the black problem.
Yeah.
But the fact is, that's basically saying that he's going to take guns off people.
Well, but he was like, I love the people in the NRA, you know, protecting our Second Amendment. But for certain things, like people who are on a watch list or whatever, you know, they shouldn't be allowed to have guns, blah, 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 you know.
Which is, I don't know. Because Trump, before he ran for president, Trump was for gun control. Like, that was one of his liberal things. Whereas Trump was like, he was pro-choice and he was pro-gun control. And then he was like, oh, no, now I have to be Republican. So abortion, women who have abortions should be punished and people should be allowed to own as many guns.
I guess he can get away with it, though, because,
Trump can say anything he wants because his supporters don't have minds or ears. So frankly, he's already, I don't know what's going to change. I feel like only Hillary's behavior can change what's going to happen. I think he's kind of laid out his thing and it's there and it's kind of constant.
And she, I mean, she took the debate, obviously, very professionally, but she didn't even have to do much.
No, she didn't. But like, she still had a higher standard to reach than he did. I mean, all Trump had to do was not swear or not throw up live on TV, not physically attack her. Oh yeah, like her shoulder shimmy. He went on a 4-second thing where he was talking about black people killing each other and stop and frisk. And at the end, Hillary just goes, "Woo!"
Yeah, and she does that kind of whole smug looking face.
Yeah. But she has a right to. But she's debating Donald Trump.
But also, like, she very deliberately, like, forcefully places certain things in.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
did you hear her talking about her father? Like,
yes. Oh, absolutely.
That was
absolutely
so strange. Yeah. I was like,
oh no,
on.
It's like, because she's
this is her. It's so insincerely trying to make herself look relatable.
She seems so out of touch. So it's like, wait, she had parents? She had a family? Like, because her and her husband, like, the fact is, their marriage is totally insincere and, you know.
And
her parentage of Chelsea.
It's a partnership rather than a marriage.
It's a convenient partnership.
Yeah.
Some would question that the existence of her daughter is also a convenience to her for political gain. Chelsea and Hillary's relationship often seems very insincere to me. So Hillary, it's hard to make Hillary Clinton seem like a relatable human being. So she has to kind of wedge in, like, my father was a working man and my mother was a...
Yeah, and her image as well, because the Clintons are so wealthy.
Yeah.
Like, people lose sight of the fact of where she came from. Yeah.
But of course, people are so stupid because... Donald's so much worse. I mean, Donald's father was a rich man himself. Like, the Clintons, like, Hillary is a far more, is a more relatable person than Donald is.
Yeah, but
because no, her parents were working class.
But what I found very interesting, yeah, the difference between Donald Trump and Hillary in that debate was, like, increasing, if you're a working class person.
Yeah.
Which, all that Hillary talked about was the middle class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And she talked about tax increase.
Yeah.
On the rich.
Yeah, yeah.
And Donald Trump talked about tax breaks.
Yeah.
And so he is making a very clear argument that, you know, he's basically the people that he's appealing to,
yeah,
are all working class people,
yeah, yeah,
who are like,
they're white, yeah, white uneducated, yeah, people working in businesses, yeah, who are feel that the government is stealing their money.
And they're going, well, the company I worked for, yeah, have just moved to Mexico,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and I'm out of a job, mm-hmm, so I'm going to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
Whereas Hillary is not doing anything really, yeah, like, and the argument that she made for increasing taxes, when Trump is saying, yeah, and it's something that both Democrats and Republicans, yeah, both agree on, is, yeah, that you can't be losing companies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't be losing business,
yeah,
to other countries.
Yeah.
And so if Hillary goes, oh yeah, my solution is to increase tax.
Mm.
Like, that does not work. That does not play well.
I think the thing with Hillary is that, like, the only working class people that she needs, like, she knows that she's lost a large proportion of white working class men to Donald. Like, but, yeah, as long as she has, like, the vast majority of blacks and Latinos, who are a huge proportion of the American working class, she has all of them purely because he's so repugnant. Like,
yeah,
like, if she was running against Marco Rubio or something, that would be a lot more. She'd have to appeal to the working class with aiming at their economic priorities.
Mm.
But the fact is, she's gained a huge quantity of that demographic just because Donald Trump is so such an impossible vote for those groups.
Yeah.
So she doesn't actually have to really advertise to them very much. But I have the quote here. I want, going back to the sniffles, which I will not drop.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This is what Donald said the next day in relation to the sniffles. I had a problem with a mic that didn't work. My mic was terrible. I wonder if it was set up that way on purpose. I don't want to believe in conspiracy theories, of course. No, no sniffles. You know, the mic was very bad, but maybe it was good enough to hear breathing. But no sniffles, no cold.
Is that a real quote?
Yes. It was confirmed yesterday by the debate commission that, in fact, there was an issue with Donald Trump's microphone. But I believe that it was just in terms of how his levels were in the room, and in fact the sniffles were not the fault of the microphone.
Well, maybe the microphone,
I mean, he was making weird noises with his,
yeah,
nose. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Maybe the microphone made more obvious or something.
Yeah, well, that's what he was claiming. Like, but I don't know. But the problem, yeah, we can't really. The debate commission said there was a problem with the microphone. So
I mean, it's obviously a load of rubbish that he just made up on the spot. That, you know, this, you can't blame sniffles on a microphone.
Yeah, but there was a problem with the microphone, so, yeah, we can't blame Donald for saying that. Really?
No. Yeah, you can't.
Which is a pity because the sniffles were so funny, and I'm annoyed that it's been kind of
funny.
It's,
yeah,
been diluted. But sure, we got like a week of Joe laughing about his sniffles.
Yeah.
Trump, like, I thought this was a huge moment at the debate, but of course it wasn't, okay, because it doesn't change anything. Was when Trump basically admitted that he doesn't pay income tax.
I know, he said
that makes me smart. And then, yeah, she said, you know, this is a man rich and da, da, da. And then he says something like, well, my money would be wasted anyway,
yeah,
by the government. So he basically admitted he doesn't pay income tax. But I thought about it, and I thought, whoa, Donald Trump not paying income tax. Okay, apart from the fact that he's, you know, whatever, breaking the law, which we can't really prove at this point.
Yeah.
Like, his supporters don't care. They think it's awesome. They think it's really cool that this guy has found a way to fuck over the government.
Of course they do.
Because he's just like them. He doesn't want to pay government to the black president who's stealing their money and paying poor people for Obamacare.
Yeah.
They think it's fantastic. It makes him more of a hero. It's like when he says things, he calls women fat. They're like, oh, tell it like it is. He's not paying his taxes. I want to be just like this rich white man who would spit at me if he saw me on the street, because he's clearly not in any way like me, but whatever.
And also the crazy thing is, it's perfectly legal.
Is it? Yeah.
Loopholes, probably.
There was a New York Times report out this morning.
It said that
technically
18 years
he might not have paid income tax since 1996,
yeah,
because he reported that he made a certain loss or whatever.
Yeah.
Just absolute nonsense. Like, oh, yeah, he's such a crook. He's a con man. He's a used car salesman.
Yeah.
Who, instead of selling you a car, is selling you a presidential campaign.
Selling you an idea.
And it's an interesting new path. Oh, God. I really just can't wait for Donald Trump to fuck off.
It's like MJML ads.
Another great line was Hillary said, "Do you know you say that you hope the Russians hack my Democratic emails, the DNC emails?" And Trump said, "Maybe it was Russia, maybe it was China, maybe it was a guy who weighs 400 pounds sitting on a bed at home." And this was judged by many as fat shaming.
Trigger.
Not on the 99%, guys. The fact is,
fat shaming, then it's racist.
It was an absolutely ridiculous comment.
It was
somebody who wears 400 pounds on a bed. Just the things that this man says are just hilarious. Like, they're brilliant.
Yeah.
Some of this comedy is just very exceptional.
Well,
it's like he's feeding late night talk show hosts and SNL writers material every day. And it's just a dream come true for people who are making jokes, and a nightmare for those who are going to be thrown out of their homes and cut off welfare when he becomes president and deported. Hillary had a great line prepared for the end of the debate. She just wanted to throw this at him the whole time. She goes, "Donald Trump does not respect women. He's called them dogs, fat pigs, and ugly." And there was a Latina former Miss Universe who he referred to as Miss Piggy and Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina. And Donald Trump said, "Where'd you hear that? How do you know these things?" Anyway, the next day, Donald Trump goes on the defense about this woman. He goes on TV. He's saying that she put on weight and was disgusting and they had disagreements. Apparently, she's been involved in like a murder before. This is something that the right-wing media was trying to put out this week, that she was like threatening a judge. And of course, somebody joked, "What Latina worth her salt hasn't threatened a judge at some point?" But he... No, like, that was a joke that, like, a Latina made.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't, like, offensive. It was, like,
okay.
I don't even know why I brought it up anyway. then the peak of this was when Donald got up at 3:30 in the morning on Thursday night and went on Twitter, as he does, and tweeted, "This woman is disgusting," and then in brackets, "check out sex tape." So we have a man who will quite likely be the 45th president of the United States going on Twitter at 3:30 at night and telling his followers, many of whom are children, to check out a sex tape that doesn't even exist, as far as we know.
Many of them are like children, his followers.
I mean, yeah, they would be.
I wouldn't say
that. They would be now. Twitter is minimum age 13. No, but I mean, okay, it's just a way of exaggerating extremity.
Some of them, maybe.
A lot of his followers are 14, 15, 16-year-olds. He's telling them to check out a sex tape. This is a president. If a reality TV star did that, imagine if Hillary did that. Imagine if he said, "Check out sex tape of Monica Lewinsky" to try and slander her.
I mean, all you have to do is compare Trump to Clinton.
Yeah, exactly. And say double standards of this man versus this woman.
Look, if she did that, you know.
Yeah. No, it's extraordinary. The sex tape tweet was just a new level, I think, like of just on his Twitter. On his Twitter, it was a new level. Because the fact is, why doesn't one of his kids take the password off him for his Twitter? He only does damage. There is no gains to be had from Donald having access to his own Twitter account.
There's no bad publicity.
But there, I mean, maybe not. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. But it just seems like from the perspective, his kids aren't as stupid as he is. At least I don't think Ivanka seems like she knows what's going on. Donald Jr., Eric is clearly mentally deficient, but Donald Jr. maybe not so much.
I don't know about
that. Why doesn't Ivanka, who seems like she has her head screwed on, maybe slightly more than her father, change the password? They all have access to it. His staff do. Because you see that some of the tweets are from iPhone, some of them from Android. Yeah. Why doesn't Ivanka change the password when he's not looking and not give it to him? Not give him the new password. And say, "Dad, you dictate tweets to me and I will tweet them for you. But you are not allowed to get up at 3:30 and go on Twitter and say things about sex tapes. Because that is just ruining the family image. And if you lose the election, no one is ever going to do business with you ever again." That's the worst thing, is that if Donald loses, like, it's not the worst thing, it's the best thing. Like, if Donald loses the election,
he's going to bankruptcy.
He's probably going to go into bankruptcy within 5 years because he's kind of ruined everyone's perception of him now. He's just done too much damage. So as a politician, yes, his career can continue, but as a businessman, not.
He's just drawn too much attention to himself.
Yeah, too much negative. And his family are all going to be quite damaged, especially if it's a nasty election and if he kind of sues for, and if it just turns out to.
Unless if he loses, he comes out and pretty much admits that he was just making stuff up.
Yeah. Which he could do.
He
could easily do it. He's done it before. He did it with the birther thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, someone should take his Twitter password off him. If you're listening to Ivanka Trump, you should do it.
He's doing all right.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
It's incredible. He's just applied what he's always applied to business to his political campaign, and it clearly works.
Yeah. So next, so we've talked about the debate. Enough about the debate. Anyway, there's another debate this week, and it is between the two most animated, exciting, and charismatic men in America, Tim Kaine and Mike Pence.
And that's all we have to say about that.
Yeah. It's on Tuesday night at 8:30 ET, and I will not be staying up late to watch it.
No, you're right.
I will watch it the next day.
Will you? Will you watch the next day?
I will watch some of it the next
God
day. I like Tim Kaine. I like watching Tim Kaine speak. He seems like a really nice guy. I do like Tim Kaine is growing on me.
Hmm.
He would have been like 12th on my list of potential VPs after, you know, Warren, Perez, Sanders, Brooker.
Come on, Sanders is never going to be VP.
He could have been.
There's no way. They're Bernie's too much of a wild card. Yeah.
Bernie could have gotten a good job in the cabinet. He could have been appointed Secretary of Labor or something, but
he wouldn't take
it. He says he wants to stay in the Senate and kind of shake things up there. I think that's probably where he can be best used.
Yeah.
Anyway, the VP debate's on. You know, Tim Kaine and Mike Pence are not the most exciting characters. I'd say it'll be very, very civilized and very, very... You know, but I mean, there is a good opportunity for Tim Kaine to say to Mike Pence, the guy who you're running with is all of these things, and for Mike Pence to have to actually defend them in a debate context. Yeah. So it could actually be interesting. And there's only one vice presidential debate. So it's not like with the presidential race where it's like, we'll leave that till next time. It's all very concentrated. I know in the West Wing, there's a vice presidential debate between Leo McGarry and the other guy. And it's pretty intense.
But you see, yeah, it's going to be a much more civilized.
Yeah, it'll be very it'll be low key, like.
And they could potentially, you could potentially learn more about each of the campaigns.
Yeah. Yes,
you know, and because the presidential is more about the person.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas we'll learn more about how the operations are running.
Yeah.
And it is very interesting to see how they are because they're so different this time.
Yes.
Very different operations. Like if you even look at the quantities of staff they've employed, it's like. Trump's so few people working for him because he doesn't need it. He gets free advertising and angry people on the streets yelling racist terms at Mexicans is basically an ad for Donald Trump, whereas Hillary has to actually print posters and TV ads.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin made his debut as Donald Trump on SNL last night.
Yeah.
Very, very amusing sketch.
Yeah, it was.
Alec Baldwin, fantastic actor.
He did such a great job.
I heard last week they announced that he's going to be playing Trump all season on SNL, and this is great because SNL is a terrible show.
It is, yeah.
Really, really not funny the majority of the time. So literally the only way SNL can ever get my attention is when they make a really good casting decision. Larry David as Bernie Sanders was one, Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump is another.
I mean, even then, the writing was not great.
No, I know. The writing is always letting itself down. But, like, I mean, they have over the years had some, like, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler as Sarah Palin and Hillary is, like, the best SNL has been in the last 10 years. So Alec Baldwin as Donald will hopefully reach those heights. But he is going to be doing that until the election and then be playing President Trump for the second half of the season. So we can look forward to that. So you can check out some of those sketches on the internet.
Indeed.
We should mention that the show that we mentioned on the last episode of 66%, Designated Survivor, has been on for another week.
And it's on Netflix.
You haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Shane, you've been watching Designated Survivor. How have you found it so far?
It's grand.
It's all right.
It's not.
It's an ABC.
Were you a fan of 24?
No. God, no. I like Kiefer Sutherland, but 24 is just not my kind of show. It's far too... It's just, there's no, like, it's too action. I don't enjoy that much action.
It's so repetitive.
I can't watch people shooting and running for more than a feature film length. Like, it's just tiresome. The writing on that show is very poor. But Kiefer Sutherland is an excellent actor. Touch was actually a really good show he was on. That's on Netflix. Did you ever watch Touch? It's very
I know
it's very, it's very cheesy, like you'd have to have a strong stomach for it because it's like it's like a cringy show. It's very but I enjoyed it. It's very kind of it's very
one or two episodes.
It's like the TV show version of Coldplay. You have to take some anti-nausea medication before you watch it, but I kind of liked it anyway. Designated Survivor is decent. It's It's pretty entertaining so far. President Thomas.
It's not too heavy, like.
Yeah, it's but it's weird because it's so depressing because, like, everyone dies. It's like,
Jesus.
The entire government dies in the first 10 minutes.
Think that's...
So it's hard to put any comedy or lightness in it, levity in it, when you've got such a dour situation going on.
Mm. I don't think they make the point enough that the entire government...
Yeah, exactly.
Dead.
So the second episode, basically...
Like, think that the only thing that happened was the building was blown up.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't really
exactly.
think
like
that
this, okay, the second episode is, like, the big plot in it is that a young Muslim boy is beaten up by and killed by a cop on the street.
Police have gone...
They've gone crazy on the Muslim community because they think that Islamic extremists are responsible for the attack on the government. So the plot of the second episode is basically that the president has to intervene to stop young Muslim people being killed.
Well, and there's the governor of Michigan.
There's like one video of a guy being beaten up on the street by a cop. Everyone sees this video and loses their shit about it and gets really furious about this act of police brutality.
Like two days after.
Yeah. The fact is, if that happened in the real world today, yes, it would be a big deal seeing a Muslim child, you know, teenager being beaten up on the street. It would be a huge deal. It would be horrific. But this is a world within the show. The day before, the president, the vice president, the entire cabinet, the entire Senate, and the entire Congress were all killed. People in that situation would not care about a teenager in Detroit. They would be far too focused on the president, the vice president being killed and the entire Capitol building being blown up. So it seems like the show still hasn't figured out where the priorities of its characters should lie.
Yeah,
and it's very unrealistic as a result.
I feel there's a plot coming with the Kiefer Sutherland's children.
Yeah, he has two children which are miscast and misjudged, and one of them is
unnecessary.
It's just a waste of time. Anyway, it's a political show. If you like political stuff, you should watch it, but to be honest, you should probably watch better political shows first, because, you know, The West Wing and House of Cards exist. So there's also another new political show starting on Epics with Nick Nolte called Graves. It's a comedy about a like Reagan-esque former Republican president who goes crazy and starts smoking pot and painting, and I enjoyed it. It's okay. Designated Survivor is probably more worth your while. Anyway, that's it for this episode of the 66%. Thank you, Michael, for coming back to visit.
Thank you, Lou.
Thank you, Shane, for allowing us into your house where we recorded today's episode, we should point out.
Mm-hmm. This episode is a co-production of Carb Digital and Buzzle Entertainment.
Yay.
And
You can follow me on Twitter, Revolutionary, live tweeting every debate, every day of election coverage, because it's so fun.
There's nothing better to do.
And I'm McAndrew Tweets on Twitter.
And Shane is ShaneK909.
And we tweet occasionally.
From 99p Show on Twitter, and we are facebook.com/99pshow. Instagram, 99pshow. We'll be back soon with either 66 or 99. We don't know. Depends what kind of ice cream I'm in the mood for. Thank you. Goodbye.